Wow, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We had so many testimonies, I don't even know which one to share.
Okay.
We'll see what the Lord does. We'll just see what the Lord does, praise God. All I have to say is I love working for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. Don't you?
Amen.
I love working for Jesus, yeah. I mean, he is amazing. We got a little problem with the volume up there. We're working on it? Okay, good deal. Before I tell you any testimony, I want to use a little bit of scripture and see what you think about this scripture. I mean, since we went up there and we went to Des Moines to teach a healing school, of course, that's what we always do. We go teach people how to get healed. And the more that I do this, the more I understand about God's Word, and the more I find out why we don't get healed. But anyway, I want to take you to a scripture where Jesus got somebody healed and his disciples couldn't get them healed. And I want you to see how this works because it's in Matthew 17:14. Matthew 17:14, and that's where I want us to start. And I want to look at this before we talk about testimonies. And when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. He's sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. Now, what kind of a problem does that sound like today? Yeah, it sounds like an epileptic seizure, doesn't it? Well, we've had many of those, you know, in the times past, but here in biblical days when Jesus was walking on the earth, this guy had a son that was a lunatic. You know, he's so vexed and he falls into the fire and into the water and everything, you know. And the people today, now we've only lived a couple of thousand years since this happened, and today, if this happens, what do we do? Most of us call the doctor, right? You know, we take the boy. In fact, let me read the next verse, verse 16. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Wow, even this guy expected these guys to be able to do something. You know, I was in church all my life, and we never had an experience like this. In the Baptist church that I was in, I never saw that. How many of you have been in a church for years and years and years and never saw a miracle like this? Okay, so most of us, I had never seen one. You know, I mean, if somebody fell out with a seizure in church, you know, we just... Man, we called to see who could get to the telephone the quickest. But they could not cure him. So, in other words, we didn't even try to cure him. We wasn't even close to this point. I mean, you would have thought the church reading the book, that at least somebody would have tried to do something, wouldn't you think? But we don't. I mean, the average church today, if somebody has a seizure and start flopping around in the service or whatever, most of us today would never even dream of trying to do anything for that boy except maybe make him comfortable until the paramedics get there. They could not cure him. So they at least tried. They prayed, but nothing happened. Verse 17, let's see what verse 17 says. Then Jesus answered and said to them, what did he say? Oh, you nice boys and girls. I feel so sorry for y'all, you know, that, you know. Tony, I see this as him saying, oh, you faithless bunch. How long am I going to have to put up with y'all? Do you see that? When I look at that, the way that's written, I think, you know, I don't think Jesus was nice to these boys at all. Then Jesus answered and said to them, O you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you or put up with you? Bring this boy hither to me. You know, I can tell you for sure, we don't like to be the failure. So if somebody comes up for me to pray for, and I pray for you, I pray in faith, believing that you're healed right there. But if you still can't walk, or you still can't get up, or you're still flopping around on the ground, I want to say, well, I prayed and nothing happened, so it must not have been God's will to heal this boy. I mean, is that what we say? Yeah, that's what I used to say. I can remember my own self when I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and everything else in church. And if one of my own kids had a problem or something, guess where I always took them? To the doctor. Never dreamed about praying for him. Here I'm a deacon and everything else, and I didn't believe I could pray for anybody and see anything happen. I just like that scripture Dave quoted a while ago in Mark 16, verse 18, the last line says, and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I read that a lot of times, but did I ever do that? What is wrong with me? Mike, what's wrong with me? What was wrong with you? You know, you would think somewhere along the line we would get to the point where we finally believe this stuff. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking to y'all just like I'm talking to me. You know, I mean, if I got faith, if I can really believe this book, Franz, what should I be able to do?
Anything.
That's what it says. Anything. You know, we don't believe that. We say we believe that, but we obviously do not believe that. I will tell you that, let's read on just another verse or two here, and let's see what Jesus says here. What's the next verse? After Jesus said what he did to him, it says, and Jesus rebuked the devil. Now, wait a minute. Jesus rebuked the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. I mean, if you want to offend somebody in the church today, just tell them you got a demon. You got a demon, or your son's got a demon, your daughter's got a demon. I remember one time right over here in the Baptist church in Justin, there was a little girl, about 6 years old, and she had athlete's foot, really, really bad. And I had learned that I had athlete's foot really, really bad for many years of my life. And I asked the Lord one day, you know, I said, Lord, I mean, first of all, I'm having a problem with this demon stuff. You know, I mean, I'd read all these scriptures, and I'd go ask a pastor or assembly or a PhD or whatever from the seminary, what does this mean? And they'd spend 15 or 20 or 30 minutes explaining away what the Bible said so clear, so easy. And so I thought, wow. So I'd go ask and I'd say, this says right here, this little boy had a demon. And I said, it looks like he had a seizure. Here he is flopping around on the floor. And we tried to cure him and we couldn't. And I said, that's us. But Jesus come along and he was upset with us. I mean, he was upset. You know, he called us some bad names. You know, you perverse and wicked bunch. You know, that doesn't sound like a, you know, Jesus, you know, that gentle Jesus that we all think we're serving. He sounds like he's a little upset with his boys. And so you think, then he called him over there, and when he commanded that demon to leave that child, and that demon left, that little boy was healed.
Amen.
So what do you think? Maybe, just maybe, we ought to, if we get somebody that's got a problem, maybe we ought to cast the demon out. He did say we could cast out demons. Thurman, you've lost your mind. cast out demons? You know that as a Christian. You know you can't have a demon. I mean, have you ever heard that?
Yes.
I mean, maybe my problem is a demon. It's impossible. Thurman, you've lost your mind. You know, I mean, no Christian could possibly have a demon. That's what I was taught. Now I've learned that it's demons talking out of their mouth telling them to say that. Because anytime you sin, now I know you get a demon. And he can do all kinds of things with you. And it's hard to get a hold of this until you realize that, hey, my problem is a demon. So anyway, this little girl had the athlete's foot. I mean, I'd had the athlete's foot, of course. And as I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is causing this athlete's foot? I mean, and he didn't give me no answers, but then I asked him a question. I said, Lord, is it possible for me to have a demon? So Lord, I've asked everybody else, and they all tell me I can't have one. So is there any sickness that is caused by demons? Is it possible for me as a Christian to have a demon? Well, then one day I was studying Luke 11:13, and it says, and the woman who had the issue, not the issue of blood, but the woman that had the spirit of infirmity in her body for 18 years, which could not lift herself up, Jesus said, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And the demon left. And when the demon left, the woman was instantly healed. And I read that. And as I read that, the Lord says, son, you have one of those living in your body. Now, I've asked the PhDs from the seminary. I've asked the pastors. And they all tell me it's impossible for me to have a demon. So I went to the master and I asked the master, and the master tells me I have one of those spirits of infirmity living in my body. I really don't want to hear that. I got a spirit of infirmity. All of a sudden you become kind of petrified, you know. Lord, this thing bound her up for 18 years. And Mary, what'd she look like? All like something like that? How'd you like to walk around like that for 18 years? No, especially if you thought it was a demon that could be cast out and you could be set free. But Jesus, he showed us that's what it was. So how come that when we go down to the hospital and we see a child down there, whatever, see something wrong with somebody, why don't we do something? But we say, well, they're in a hospital now. They're in a good place. If anybody's here can do anything, the doctors. But a doctor can't cast out a demon.
Not unless he
knows about it. No, he can't cast out a demon. So when we read the scripture, when we see what Jesus says to do, why do we not do what he says? Why do we not believe? I mean, the church. I mean, over the years, when I think about these things, I think about this little girl. After I found out that and the Lord had to tell me, because I'm asking him, you know, what is it possible for me to have a demon? And that night he spoke to me audibly and said, son, you have one of those demons. The one I just read about that he had cast out of a woman that had been bent over for 18 years and could in no wise straighten herself up. She had a demon. He said, you have one of those spirits of infirmity living in your body. What are you going to do if the Lord tells you you got one of them wicked things living in your body? What are you going to do? You're going to run? You're going to jump? What are you going to do? Well, first of all, if you're afraid of all this, don't ask him because he might tell you. Now you've got a problem. I asked him and he told me, I have a demon living in my body. Well, what am I going to do with that demon? I said, Lord, what is it? I said, Lord, she was all bowed over. I'm not bowed over. I said, she was weak. I said, I'm not weak. I said, as far as I can see, I'm completely 100% normal. You know, everything's working, you know. I can still walk and talk, and I'm not bowed over. I'm not weak. So what in the world is this demon? He said, it's your athlete's foot. I said, Lord, athlete's foot is a demon? He said, yes, son. And in my name, you have authority over it. I'd had this ever since I was a teenager. Who knows when I was a teenager what sin I did that opened the door to let that beast in, but I'm sure there was no lack of sin. You know, when you're a kid, did you ever sass your mama? Huh? Did you ever say things you shouldn't say? Did you ever get mad at somebody and do something you ain't supposed to do? Did you? In other words, have you ever got out of your love walk? Oh, Lord, let me count the number of times. Oh, Lord. But, you know, God's merciful. And so when I said, Lord, I have one of those. I said, Lord, I'm not weak. I'm not bowed over. I said, so what is that spirit doing to me? He said, it's your athlete's foot. And you have authority over it in my name. So now then, he knew I was ready. I spun my feet around. I looked down at my boots. And I pointed at them toes. And I said, you demon of hell. Now, if you'd have been a normal Baptist and been in my house that night, you would have known Thurman Scripture needed to be locked up in an institution. I mean, you would have seen something you never saw before in your life. I'm fixing to do something I've never done before in my life. I commanded that spirit of hell to come out of my feet, go to the abyss, and to never enter me again in Jesus' name. And then I said, thank you, Lord, for doing it. And I went to bed that night, and the next morning I woke up, and I didn't have a single sign of athlete's foot. He healed me. He delivered me. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, this happened several years went by. And then one day, the Lord had told me to teach just his word in my Sunday school class at the Baptist church. So I'm doing this, and I tell this story about the demons and the athlete's foot. There wasn't a word said in the class. It was a great day, and I'm having fun. I'm just telling what God did for me, but I'm not sure they believe. But anyway, after it's all over, I mean, you know, when you hear one of these for the first time, Mike, what did you think the first time you come to this church? You think something wrong with this old boy up here? Yeah, you knew there was. It's crazy. That's Jerry Baker. I get so tickled at Jerry here. The first time he come, him and his lovely little bride come to a Sunday school class over Justin, and I called him and talked to him, and she says, honey, who were you talking to so long on the phone? He said, it was that Sunday school teacher. She said, what did he say? He said, you wouldn't believe if I told you. Is that right, Jerry? You knew I was crazy. Oh, goodness. But you see, they come back. And they've been coming back for years. But I just stand in awe of what God has showed me. And I'm so grateful that when I commanded that spirit to leave and then it left, and then I told that story in my Sunday school class, one of the little ladies, Vicky was her name, I'll never forget her, she come up and said, Thurman, that was an awesome story you told this morning in Bible study. She says, you know the little Greg girl, do you know she has athlete's foot real bad? And I says, no, I didn't know that. She says, maybe you ought to share this story with them. Now, they're good Baptists. They're really, I mean, I know Russell, he's a really fine man. I know Loretta, the mother, and then their little boy and girl they have. And they're just the sweetest couple. They love God. Russell was the RA teacher. Sure, he was a good man of God. And so anyway, I said, okay, I'll tell them. And so if she's got this, I'll tell them. We'll see what they do. So I stopped Loretta and that afternoon after church, and I said, Loretta, Vicky told me this morning that your daughter has athlete's foot pretty bad. And she said, yes, she does. So we've tried all kinds of medicines, but it doesn't seem to really do much good. And I said, well, the reason it doesn't work is because it's a spiritual problem. She said, what? I said, it's a spiritual problem. She said, Thurman, I got to go. I got to go fix lunch for Russell. I'll see you later. We'll talk to you later. I said, but I'd love to come over to y'all's house or sit down with you and talk to you about how to get your daughter healed. She said, that's okay. We don't have time. We'll talk to you later. I mean, this is the way we react. You know, you've been in a Baptist church all your life. You ain't never heard. I mean, you've read it, but it never made sense that it really means what it says. So anyway, every Sunday for about 6 weeks, when I'd see her, obviously she told Russell. I said, Russell, I'd shake hands with him, and I said, Russell, I need to talk to you all about your daughter. He said, well, we don't have time today, Thurman. We got something else to do. We'll talk to you maybe next Sunday. Well, after about 6 weeks, they never had time. And I finally come home to church one afternoon, and I went over there in my house and I knelt down by the bed and I said, Father, this couple, they don't believe your word. I said, but you said in your word that nothing is impossible if I believe. Is that what he said? That's what Franz said he said. That's what he said. He said, if I believe, nothing is impossible. Nothing. So I said, Lord, I know you cast out the demon out of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter from right there with her on her knees right in front of you. You said, woman, you have great faith. Now, because of that, your daughter is healed. That demon is gone, and your daughter, you can go home. Your daughter's healed. And said, that woman got up and went home, and her daughter was delivered. He'd done that long distance. And then I said, Lord, you said in your word that if I believe, not only could I do what you did, but greater things than these that you did shall I do in your name.
Amen.
Now that's a big one, isn't it? So anyway, I said, Satan, I'm knelt there beside my bed. I said, Satan, I'm speaking directly to you according to the word of God. I am demanding and commanding you to come out of the little Greg girl in Jesus' name. And I said, now, Lord, I want to thank you for healing that baby. Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. Next Sunday, I walked in church and she walked up to me and said, Thurman, did you pray for my daughter? I said, well, kinda. I mean, what am I going to do? I ain't supposed to lie. And I really didn't pray for her healing. What did I do? I commanded a demon to leave her little 6-year. No. If I'd have said, no, I didn't pray for her. I cast a demon out of her. She, that's it. I'm. Don't ever speak to us again. We'll see you never. We're going to change churches. But that's where we live, Gracie. Is that right, girl? Unbelievable that what happens and how we don't believe what's written in this book. But anyway, we keep going. I said, I really need to come sit down and talk with y'all and show you what causes it and how to keep it out. Oh, she said, Thurman, she's totally healed. She said, her feet are perfect. I thank you for praying for her. But I didn't pray for her. But I can't tell her I cast a demon at her because you know what this is going to do.
Right.
I mean, now, before we thought he was crazy. But now that he's trying to tell me he's going to cast a demon out of our little girl and that got rid of the athlete's foot, he must really think we're stupid. But that's where we live. Is that right? That's where we live. So anyway, every Sunday for several weeks, I finally give up. I thought, you know, they don't want to hear. They just don't want to hear. I mean, you know, I just give up. And so 2 or 3, 4 months go by, and one day she came to me and said, Thurman, we have a problem. I said, what's that? She said, the athlete's foot that Michelle had has come back with a vengeance. Now then, what does the scripture say? If you cast a demon out of somebody and he goes out and you don't get the problem taken care of and you teach them how to refill their mind and their heart with the word of God, it says that demon will come back and he will bring with him 7 more demons more wicked than himself. And the second state of that person will be worse than the first. Is that what the scripture says? That's what it says. So it's unfortunate we don't believe that, but that's what it says and that's what it means. I said, well, I really need to sit down with y'all and tell you what's going on. But I said, I know y'all have a problem believing. So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to go home and tell your husband that your daughter has a demon. A demon. Oh, my God. I said, honey, don't worry about it. We have been given all power and all authority. There's not anything to be concerned about. We have all power and all authority. Does the Bible say that? Yes, it clearly does. Somebody's even up here saying Luke 10:19-20. They know where it's at. You know, Mark 16:18-17. You shall cast out demons in my name. It's not a big deal. You know, you don't have to be concerned about casting out a demon. Just make sure you don't have any kind of sin in your life, making sure you're walking holy before God. If you are, then there's no problem. So I told her, I said, I want you to go home. And I want you to tell your husband, I want him to read Matthew 18:19. First of all, I said, I want him to read Luke 10:19-20 a dozen times. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, a dozen times. Read it over and over and over. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not in this, that those evil spirits have to be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Now, if you read that a dozen times slowly, over and over and over, it's going to get into you. Right?
Amen.
And then you're going to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I said, then after he's read that at least a dozen times, then I want him to read Luke 10, 19, and 20. I mean, not Luke 10, 19, 20, but Matthew 18, 19. Matthew 18, 19 says, if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, it will be done for us by our Father which is in heaven. Is that right?
Amen.
Okay. So I said, then after you tell your husband to read Luke 10, 19, and 20 a dozen times, slowly, then after he reads Matthew 18, 19 a dozen times, I want him to go in and lay his hands on his daughter and read those one, or quote those one more time. Then I want him to demand and command those spirits of infirmity to leave his daughter and go to the abyss and never come back. Never. I said, after he does that, then I want you and him to get together and read Matthew 18, 19. And then I want y'all to agree in prayer over your six-year-old daughter that her feet, which are eat completely up with athlete's foot, will be supernaturally healed and made whole overnight. In the name of Jesus. You know, now some people would say, you know, you're crazy. But Russell, when she told him that, she says, you know, I realize Thurman's got a problem. He has a problem. But you know, he prayed for Philip Wren that had warts and scars all over his body, and Philip was in my little RA class. And Philip ain't got no scars no more, and he ain't got no warts no more. So I said, this guy, Thurman Scribner's got some kind of a problem. But I like the problem he's got. Because they brought forth the tremendous results of healing of Philip Anthony Wren. So he said, if Thurman prayed for Philip, and all them warts and scars went away, he obviously knows something we don't know. So he said, if he tells me what to do, I'm going to do it over my daughter. So he went and read those scriptures. And now he's putting the Word of God into his heart. As he puts the Word of God into his heart, he's gaining power. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And after you read that a few times, you literally in the spirit, you get to where you see yourself having power over the devil. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to see you have that power and authority. And then when he got that done, he said, okay, honey, let's go in there. We're going to pray. By this time, it's 11 o'clock at night. Little Michelle's already asleep. He said, we're going in there and we're going to cast those demons out of my baby. And we're going to pray the healing power of Jesus into her. And we're going to believe with all our heart that God's going to heal our daughter. So they went in. He woke her up and said, honey, wake up. I'm going to cast the devil out of you. We have learned that it's evil spirits that have this problem, has put this problem in your feet. We're going to take authority over those. I'm going to take authority. I'm going to kick them out. Then your mother and I is going to agree in prayer that you're going to be healed. And Jesus told us in his word that it would work. So we're going to believe it's going to work. So when we asked little Michelle when she was about six, what do you think? She said, all I know is I believe my daddy knows what he's doing. I don't understand this, but I know my daddy does. No, but her daddy really didn't understand it either. This was his first time. But when he laid hands on this little girl with those feet eat up with Ashley's foot and commanded those spirits to leave and to never come back, then he asked the Father in Jesus' name to do a supernatural healing on his little girl, make her feet like brand new, and thank the Lord. I said, don't forget to thank him for doing it. And then I said, just put her to bed and then wake up in the morning, go check her. Next morning he woke up, he went in there and about 7 o'clock and jerked the cover back off Loretta, little Michelle. She said, what's wrong, Daddy? He said, I'm going to look at your feet. Pulled that cover back and looked down at those little feet, which had been eat up and bleeding, and they looked like they'd been freshly manicured. Little Michelle started crying. She said, Daddy, it really worked. Yes, the Word of God does work, doesn't it? You know, so I think about one of the first experiences we had with epilepsy was in a church, in our church in Dallas. There was a 16-year-old boy that wasn't getting along too good with his dad. Some 15-16-year-old boys think they're bigger than dad, but they fail to realize there's a link there between dad and God that they forget. So if you want to get smart with your dad and start calling him names or doing stupid things, God will just send a tormenting spirit to torment you. You know, somebody said, God would never do that. Oh, yeah, he will. He certainly will. Yeah, he knows how to make your life wonderful, or he knows how to make your life miserable. He knows how to do it. So this boy was having a problem with his dad. We were in service. He was right over just about where Tony's at in the service. I was standing up here at the front, or actually over here. They were singing, and all of a sudden, I heard some crash, screaming. And I turned around and looked, and this boy is down on the seat. He's kicking. I mean, were you there that day?
Later, but I was. Yeah.
Oh, you were there. I mean, he's kicking and screaming and everything. And of course, you know, nobody knows what's going on. I said, just keep singing, no problem. Just a little demon trying to stir up stuff. So I said, just keep singing, no problem. I go over there, and this boy's down on the floor. He's flopping under the seats, and he's kicking. And I just get right down on top of him and start screaming, come out of him, you devil of hell. I remit his sins in the name of Jesus. Come out of him in Jesus' name. And after about the third time of that, he looked up and says, what's wrong? I said, you're okay. Get up. I said, just stand up right here. Now just fill in where the song is and just keep singing and praising God. I said, you're delivered. Everybody that was there got to see that happen. Now then, I had read the story where Jesus says, when they said they brought the boy to him, they couldn't hear him. Jesus said, you wicked and perverse bunch. How long am I going to put up with you? I thought, I don't want the master. Jerry, I don't want the master to call me a wicked, perverse bunch. Do you? No, I don't want to be wicked and perverse. I want to be able to do something. So that boy got free. It totally changed that boy's life. Everything in that boy's life from that day forward changed. But he had a demon. And why did he have a demon? He had a demon because he wasn't doing what he's supposed to with his dad. But through that, I learned a great lesson. Every time I find a demon that manifests in a person in epilepsy, you nearly every time, it'll be a man. Very rarely do I have a woman with epilepsy. It's nearly always a man. But those boys always got sideways with their dad. And if they got sideways with their dad, it can bring a demon. Because the Lord did say, children, obey your parents in all things, that it may go well with you and you may have a long life. Is that what he said?
Amen.
So what if you don't obey? It ain't going to, that's right, Ms. Jackie. It ain't going to be good, is it? So anyway, the secret here, you've got to develop people's faith. So anyway, the second night, I had told them the first night, I said, now tomorrow night I'm going to teach on how to get a lost person saved. Because we got lots of people that need to know how to get saved. And so as I'm getting ready to leave here that day, James comes to me and says, Thurman, my mother and sister live up there, close up there, and my mother's not saved. I said, well, let's use the prayer of how to get a lost person saved right now. So we did that, all of us, right there, we did that, and we came. See, the scripture says, if there's anybody lost on this earth, which his mother was, the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their mind to the truth.
Amen.
So if we've been given all power and all authority and we can tell the devil what to do, why do we continue to let him blind the minds of people? It's because we don't know. And so James and I and the staff, we broke that power over the devil, over his mother. We commanded those spirits to leave her and stop blinding her mind to the truth. Then we asked the Father in Jesus' name to send the Holy Spirit to convict her of sin, draw her into the kingdom of God, gloriously save her and fill her with the Holy Ghost. I said, no problem, it's done. We leave and go up there. So the first night we speak about healing, and then I tell them, I said, well, tomorrow night I'm going to speak about salvation and how to get a lost person saved. Well, I didn't realize, but that night when I started praying for people, actually I didn't preach on that at all. I preached on healing because there was a young man who came from Minneapolis that was going to have his leg amputated. So I preached on healing. And when we got through with the service, I asked to give the invitation for people to come up, and James's mother and sister came up. When they came up there, when she said, "I'm James's mother," I said, "Well, praise God." I said, "How are you in salvation getting along?" She said, "Well, not too good." I said, "Don't you think it's time you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" She said, "You know, I believe it is." I said, "Well, let's just repeat this prayer after me." So I led her in a salvation prayer, and she went right through that. She got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then she went and called her son, told him he got saved. Isn't God awesome? Yes. Just think how simple it is to get people saved when you kick the devil out of their life. Now, who was it that messed up this little boy a while ago we was talking about, and happened little Michelle Gregg? Who was it that was doing all these bad things? The devil. How much power do we have over the devil? So who is it blinding the minds of James's mother? The devil. How much power do we have over the devil? So why don't we tell him what to do? Why don't we tell him to get out of our life? You know, in fact, if you saw the movie War Room, if you saw that, I remember that girl's husband that was in the restaurant, you know, and he was thinking bad thoughts about doing something he shouldn't be doing with this other woman. You remember that, Miss Jackie? And his wife's at home, and she is praying, and she goes in that war room, and she comes out, and then she goes back in and says, "Mr. Devil, I want you to know I'm in charge here, not you. You're not going to have my husband." And man, she began to pound the throne of God and telling that devil to get out. And all of a sudden, her husband came down with some kind of diarrhea or stomach problem, and he had to go and leave and go home. Now, can God do that?
Yeah.
Of course he can. He answered her prayer. He had no clue. Here he is thinking of meditating on going to bed with another woman, and he's got a wife at home, but she's not giving it. She's praying.
Yes.
Devil, you ain't having my husband. That other woman ain't having my husband. I don't know what he's up to, but I'm kicking you out, and I want you to know that this place is under new management, and I happen to be the manager in the name of Jesus. Was that woman a woman of God? Did she get her prayer answered? Yes, she did. Just think, the same thing that's available to that woman is available to you and me. So anyway, we got James's mother saved and everything. Then we prayed for his sister, for her healing and everything. But that night, in the course of the night, when we first got ready to start, the place filled up completely except the front row. The front row, just like this one is right here where Cheryl's sitting on it, there wasn't nobody sitting on it. It was completely empty. And all of a sudden, this family from Minneapolis comes in. We'd already started, and they come in, and there's no place for them to sit. So they bring them, they said, "Oh, we don't want to mess up everything. We don't want to come down here to the front." And they said, "That's okay. It's the only seats left. Come on down." So they brought her in and filled up the whole row. I started over there walking down this, and I said, "Anybody in this bunch just come in sick?" This boy said, "Sitting right here." He said, "I am." He said, "We drove from Minneapolis to get healed." I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "The problem with my right leg." And he said, "They said they'd go in and do surgery on it, but they guaranteed me it would cut the ligaments to my foot so my foot don't work no more, so I won't be able to walk. And they may have to cut my leg off." I said, "Well, you're at the right place at the right time. God put you on the front row right here in a healing school." He said, "We drove from Minneapolis down here to get healed." So I started going over things, simple things. You know, like for instance, Jesus clearly said in Matthew 18:19, let's put that on the board. Let's just start a few of these things. Let's look at this. Matthew 18:19. Okay, now you would think anybody that's a Christian would get that just like that. Wouldn't you think? I mean, what did he say? Miss Jackie, what did he say? One more time.
"Again, I say unto you, if two of you agree on earth and ask the Father anything in his name, he will do it." Amen.
And that's God speaking, right?
Yes, sir.
So you would think anybody, when we repeat that second time, you'd think anybody get it, right?
We get it.
So I'm up in front of this young man. I said, "Now, how about that scripture, son? Do you believe that?" "Well, yes, I believe that." I said, "And are you healed?" "I'm not sure." I said, "You ain't got it. You didn't get it." See, who is it that blinds our mind to the truth? The devil. Yeah, he's still in the business. I mean, he's there. So you think, well, let's go down through some more things. So we started going down through other promises. Like, for instance, I told him, I said, let's take this awesome, wonderful promise of John 14:12. John 14:12. Let's look at John 14:12. I just, you know, this is where we are, all of us today, right here in this room. We think we believe, but we really don't believe. What does John 14:12 say? What does it say? What?
Verily, verily.
Or truly, truly, same thing, right?
Yep.
And the master can't lie, can he?
No,
can't?
No.
So he says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, what?
He that believeth.
Uh-oh, we got a problem right there.
On him, yeah. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these.
Shall he do in my name? Why? Why is there no power in the church today with these promises like this? What is the problem? And see, and I quote this verse and I say, son, look at that verse. Read it to me. And he'd read it. And I say, okay, now what does it say? And he said, well, you know, try to tell me exactly what it said, you know. And I said, do you believe it? Yes, I believe it. I said, then I'm saying you're healed. You're in agreement with me? Well, I don't know. I said, you ain't got it yet. You don't have it yet. You don't have it yet. Is that what's wrong with us? We have, see, the master said in his word that when we ask for something or pray for something, we got to believe with no doubt in our heart, none whatsoever. So if there's a little bit of doubt there, is it going to work?
No,
it ain't going to work. So we keep going over and over and over all these wonderful promises. And I went over, no telling how many promises, how many places I went, and I just put things that just unbelievable, the things the Holy Spirit was bringing out of me and putting up here for this boy to see. And then finally, I told him, I said, you know, that scripture that Dave used there a while ago, Mark 16:18. You know, what does Mark 16:18 say? One more time. Mark 16:18, the last line. What does the last line say?
Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's all we need.
So if I'm in Walmart, and I see this lovely lady walking by, and she's got a little, you know, thing all wrapped up on her wrist or something. Now, if I walk over and say, ma'am, I'm a Christian, I'd like to pray for you, and Jesus is, you know, she'd say, get away from me, get away from me. But that's the way people do you, Miss Jackie. You know, it happens. If you don't believe that, this, you know, you can go to a Church of Christ, a Methodist church, a Baptist church, even some Pentecostal churches, and tell somebody, say, all you need to do is repent of your sin, and I'll pray for you and guarantee God will heal you. They say, you lost your mind. I've been to the best doctor in town, and I ain't healed yet. But you ain't been to the best doctor in town yet. You didn't go to Jesus yet. You went to them other doctors. Is that right? So anyway, that scripture that says, and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that what that says?
Yes.
So I walk up to this lovely lady, you know, that's got her hand all wrapped up there in Walmart. She don't really know nothing about it. She's a Christian. I may ask her, I say, ma'am, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, you know, may the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Now, she's not going to retaliate against that, is she?
No.
If she's a Christian at all. Even if she's not a Christian, she probably, if I say, may the Lord bless you. See, in my heart, I know I just laid hands on her according to God's word. So it's amazing. You start to walk out of Walmart. Maybe an hour later, you've done all your shopping. You go to walk and you check out and you walk in the same lane. And there's the same lady again. And she says, you know, I don't know what it was a while ago, but after you prayed for me, my pain all went away. I feel so good. I say, well, thank you, ma'am. I'm glad you feel good. You don't have to tell her nothing. Isn't that wonderful? When I finally got to that one. And I told that young man, I said, son, I want you to read that again. Read it again. Read it again. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick. Mark 16:18. What does it say? One more time. Mark 16:18. Now, here we got greater works than these that you should do. But, I mean, Mark 16:18. And you shall lay hands on the sick. What did he say? Mary, you look like a fairly intelligent young lady. Can you read that last line and tell me what it says?
About the laying on of
Yeah.
Hands.
Yeah. What does that say?
Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
That's right.
Yeah.
There it is. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How long has that been in the Bible? At least 2,000 years. Been there longer than me and you've lived, that's for sure, right? How come I was in the Baptist church all those years and never saw anybody use that verse? How many times have I been to a Pentecostal churches and even they don't believe that? Or the Pentecostal church, they'll usually pray with you, but they'll say, now then, Lord, we prayed for Brother Thurman or whatever. He's got this problem, so we're going to use Mark 16:8. And they may not even do that. They may not even call him in remembrance of the scripture, but he wants us to do that because he watches over his word to perform his word.
Amen.
And so they pray for you, and then they say, now go to the doctor, Thurman. I've had people tell me that in church. Now, I prayed for you, but go to a doctor, Thurman. I said, but I thought we just prayed. Well, we did, but you know, Jesus uses doctors. Well, it's a good thing he does. Y'all see where I'm coming from? So I kept going over and over and over that, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said, son, what does that say? He said, it says, lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I said, okay, do you believe it? Well, kind of. I said, you ain't got it yet. You haven't got it. And so I kept going over and over and over. How does faith come?
By hearing
what?
The word.
The word. So I kept telling him, son, read that for me. Read Mark 16:18. Read that out loud to me one more time. And I'd go over on something else, and then I'd go over and I'd say, let's go back to John 14:13-14. Let's go back to John 14:13-14. Let's see what John 14:13-14 says. So we'd go to John 14:13-14, and let's get to John 14:13-14. What does John 14:13-14 say? Are we there yet? So what does it say? So what does it say? What? I can ask anything in his name. That can't. That you can't. That can't be right, Kim.
What it says? He can't lie.
Tony, surely it can't be that simple, huh? It is. You even believe that yourself, don't you? See, you're just like me. See, you finally got enough word in you, you believe it. Isn't it wonderful to get enough word in you, you finally believe God means what he says?
Amen.
So anyway, we go over this, we read these kind of scriptures, and I said, son, just look at what God said. Look at the promises he's made you. And we went over that and over that and over that and over that, and I had him read it over and over and over. And how does faith come?
By
hearing and hearing the word of God. So I finally come back over here and I said, okay, son, one more time. I want you to turn to Mark 16:18, the last line. And I want you to read that to me. Read it to me. Read it to me. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'd reach over and say, I said, did I just do what it said? Yeah. I said, are you healed? Well, I hope so. I said, no, read it again. Read it again. Read it again. And he'd read it again and read it again and read it again. Every time he'd read it, I'd reach over and touch him. I said, I just laid hands on you. What did it say? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said, what did that say? You maybe you will. He said, no, it says you shall. I said, read it again. Finally, I said, I don't know how many times we did this. I finally said, read it one more time. He did, and I laid hands on him. I said, what did it say? He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall get well. I said, you just read it. I laid hands on you. Are you healed? He said, I finally got it. I see it. He said, I'm healed. How many times do you have to do it? You think the devil's not there working?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the Lord just revealed something to me standing right there. I hadn't even thought about this. He just revealed to me. If you'd have kicked the devil out of him a whole lot sooner, that boy would have got healed a whole lot quicker.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So whenever I'm praying for somebody like Dave prayed a while ago, Lord, make sure the devil's not here.
That's
kick him out.
That's right.
So that now we're not going to be hindered at the hearing of your word. But see, I didn't do that myself. See, the beast was even blinding my mind. Even though we finally got through to him and got him healed. If I'd only thought when I walked up there and said, you devil of hell, you come out of him, you get out of here, you leave this place and go somewhere else. Go to the abyss, but get out of this church in the name of Jesus. And don't you blind anybody's mind in this building. In Jesus' name. Just think, how many times have you seen me kneel here with a child or a young man or a girl right here that don't want nothing to do with Jesus? And I rebuke the enemy and command him to leave that child and ask the Lord to convict that person of sin. And then I ask him again, do they want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? And they're just that quick. Just like James's mother. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
The devil. He's our enemy and he's right here doing it to us. And he even did it to me. It's amazing how the Lord just revealed that to me. Isn't that something, Mike? I had power and authority, and all the time I'm trying to get him healed and everything. Never one time did I say, you devil of hell, I command you to get away from him and stop blinding his mind.
Yeah. Wow.
But the Lord just showed me, if I did that a lot quicker, he'd have been healed a lot quicker. Is God a mighty God, Franz? He is out of this world, isn't he? Wow. Now then, let's go back to this scripture and Matthew 17. Matthew 17. I think we're down to about verse 18 and 19 or 20 or somewhere along there. Then came the disciples of Jesus. Okay. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? You know, first of all, in the Baptist church that I was in as a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and everything else, I never tried to cast out a demon out of nobody, and I sure never asked why it didn't work. Because I didn't expect it to work. I didn't know I could do these kind of things. All that was right there in the book, I didn't know. But at least these boys, you know, they knew that Jesus had given them power and authority, and they believed it. But then when they tried it on this boy, it didn't work. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Let's see what Jesus said in verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your... what? For verily I say unto you, there's that big word again. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And that is more than you can stomach, that next line. Is that true? And what? And nothing shall be impossible unto you. So what is the problem in the church? Right here, standing right here and sitting right there in that pew, that's the problem. Unbelief, that's exactly right. Unbelief. When you say, but I don't have unbelief. Let me tell you, I can remember one night right here in this building a couple of years ago when we went to Christy and Eric's party. Actually, it wasn't their party, it was all theirs, Christmas. When we come home, Cheryl brought the cake right through here, right through the kitchen, right there. Went in there and put it in the refrigerator. She come right back out through here. And as she went through it to the ministry center in the media room, she stumbled over a box and fell down and hit her knee on the ground, on the concrete. She jammed her hand into the wall. She ran her head into the wall. And I mean, big old knots was coming up. Her hand was swelling. Her knee was swelling. It was black and everything else. And she called me on the phone and said, honey, help, I'm hurt. I went running around there, and as soon as I saw her laying there on the floor, I looked and saw everything, and I saw what did. I said, woman, I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the swelling, I rebuke the pain. You are now healed. It says, God said in his word, I can ask for anything and he'll do it. I said, are you in agreement with me that you are healed with no pains, no swelling, no nothing? She said, yes. I said, then get up. She said, but honey, I'm hurt. I said, I thought you said you wasn't hurt. Now you're saying you are hurt. I said, get up. But honey, I said, get up. It's terrible when a man beats his wife like that. You know that? But I got a hold of her hand, began to drag her up. She said, I know I'm going to have swelling. I said, no, don't say that. I said, there's going to be no swelling. There's going to be no swelling. Your arm, your head is going to be fine. But honey, I said, no. Aren't you glad the man has all the authority?
Yes.
If the woman had the authority there, we'd have lost that one that night. Because she was looking at her physical flesh. Yeah. I got her up there and I said, come on, let's go back to the bedroom. You're going to be okay. But honey, I said, I don't want to hear it. Come on, let's go. So we took back here. We got back there and she said, I got to look in the mirror and see how bad this is swelled. I said, no, it's not swelled. There's going to be no swelling. Do you think this old guy's got some crazy faith in him somewhere? But you know, I mean, what did the word say? If I believe and have no doubt in my heart, what can I do, young lady? What can I do? Now, is God, does he really mean all that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now then you see why I was being so mean to my wife, right? At the time, she wasn't understanding what was going on. But I'm telling you, I got her up and I wouldn't let, every time she started to say, I'm going to look in the mirror, I said, no, there's no swelling, there's no bruises. I spoke, no swelling, no bruises. You're healed, there ain't no broken bones. Everything's perfect in your body in the name of Jesus. I'm not taking no for an answer. So in a little while she come to bed, she said, I am so glad I'm married to you. She said, all my pain's gone, all my bruises are gone. She woke up the next morning, of course, the first thing she did, went in there and looked in the mirror. And guess what?
It was perfect.
It was perfect. She didn't have any swelling or anything. Somebody would say, Thurman, I can't believe you're so mean to your wife. Let me tell you what, it produces good results. If you get mean with her in the Lord, he'll back you. Now, you better not go to beating on her, you know, when, you know these Muslims that are trying to come to America, that are trying to take over the world, they're trying to get Sharia law in there so the man can beat his wife. I mean, that's not what God meant. And I'll tell you what, you know, whenever these people that are coming to America, all these, especially these Muslims, I just cannot overemphasize the fact this is not a peaceful religion. This is a religion of death. This is a religion of killing. Don't you ever make friends with a Muslim. Don't you ever turn your back on a Muslim. You can talk to them about Jesus, remembering that the devil in them you have all power and authority over. You can kick that devil out of them. You can get them saved, just like I did, like I've done many people. You can get them saved. You can get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Once you get a Muslim converted to a Christian, they're no longer a Muslim, they're a Christian. When they become a Christian, now then, they're just like you and me. They got the same Holy Spirit we got, and we can trust them. But as long as they're a Muslim, you can't turn your back on one. Don't you dare trust one of them. You know, and I got a feeling, before this is all over, there's going to be a war in America between the Muslims and the Christians. Because in all these other countries where Muslims are, do you know they're killing Christians all over the place? The only problem is those Muslims don't have any guns. I mean, those Christians don't have any guns. Over here, we got guns. We are well armed. And that's the only thing that's going to prevent them from taking over our country. That's it. You know, so if you've never had to fight, I hope it doesn't come to this. But if it does, you better be ready to fight. I went to Vietnam to fight for this country. I took a chance on losing my life, and several of my friends died in Vietnam. So let me tell you, and let it all be heard, I am not going to come back to this country and lay down and watch somebody else come over here and take this country over without a fight. I will fight to the death. The thing about it is, when I see a Christian woman that has married a Muslim man, I want to just punch her in the nose. You know, because that's what they're doing. We are so dumb to let them come over here and marry into our families, to marry one of our women, and he is a Muslim man, and then when they have two or three or four kids, he teaches those kids all about Sharia law and how to be a Muslim and how to love Allah and kill for Allah. And, you know, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. So anyway, I didn't plan to get off on that, but just right there, that just happened to come out. Don't trust a Muslim. kick the devil out of them, get them saved. But don't trust one of them. Now, don't befriend one of them. You know, they will tell you, we're a religion of peace. But that's a lie. They are not a religion of peace. You know, somebody, I mean, I know people that will say, you know, Thurman, you've lost your mind for sure now. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Those Muslims, they come to take over this country. And you can look at every country that was a Christian nation on earth. Lebanon was a wonderful Christian nation. And they come in slowly, one by one, and they begin to take over. Oh, but we're a Muslim, we're a religion of peace. And they tried to convince them, and they let them come in, and they came in, and they came in. And then all of a sudden, when they begin to get 5 or 10% Muslim, they begin to start demanding people go to mosque and convert to Allah, or we kill you. And by the time they're 50%, forget it. It's over. They take over. Now, do you want that to happen in America? I don't either. And I'm not going to let it happen on my watch. You know, I ain't going to let it happen on my watch. Praise God. Like I say, somebody said, well, you know, you're 77 years old. You're too old to fight. Let me tell you what, I can still pull a trigger on a gun. I might be tougher than you think I am. I might be tougher than you think, but I definitely know I can pull the trigger on a gun. Well, don't come into my house try to take over the place, because I am well armed and I will shoot. Somebody said, you don't want to shoot nobody. No, you come messing around my property. You come in with a bunch of Muslims trying to take over this country, I will take you out. I will. So praise the Lord. We're going to pray and do things right. What time is it? 15 minutes to 4? Okay, so let's see what we got here. See where we stopped at. Because of your unbelief. They asked the Lord, why could we not heal this boy? You know, that would make you think that it's God's will to heal everybody. You know that? Yeah, it almost confirms what the Word says, doesn't it? I'm the God that forgives all of your iniquities, and I'm the God that heals how many of your diseases?
All.
So we don't believe that. And Jesus said unto them, you couldn't heal this boy because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's almost beyond comprehension to think that God would make a statement like that and then give it to us. And we just don't believe what he said. What's the next verse say? Howbeit, this kind of what? This kind of demon? This kind of unbelief? This kind of lack of faith? Whatever he's talking about, howbeit this kind, whatever he's talking about, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So what's the answer to get to the point where you can get somebody healed? Pray and fast. See, when I read that verse in the Baptist church, I can assure you, I knew they misspelled that word, fasting. I knew they left out the E. I mean, we know how to feast. If you don't believe me, just look around at us. I can eat plenty of groceries. Wow. Just think. If you can believe, what's impossible?
Nothing.
So where is the problem? It's got to be us, ladies and gentlemen. It can't possibly be God. You know, when I think about Johnny Brumfield, when I literally think about Johnny Brumfield, the guy down in Manny, Louisiana, that when he's sitting there in that chair that day with the steel braces from his waist to his ankles, and he told me the doctor said he'd never walk again, never. I told him, I said, you know, John, and came up to a crippled man at the church, at the synagogue. And when the man said, I need some money, he said, I don't have any money, but what I have, I give it to you freely. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. What did Jesus say we could do in his name?
Anything.
So what's wrong with us? What's wrong with me? I mean, I obviously got the same problem y'all got. Unbelief, right? So here's this man, Johnny Brumfield. When I tell him, I said, you know, I'm going to kneel down in front of you here, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you, and I'm going to ask God to completely give you two brand new legs, and I'm going to thank him for doing it, and then all you got to do is get up and walk. I did that. And I said, now, do you believe it? He said, yes. He said, I'm a Baptist, and if it's written in that book, I believe it. And he said, it's written in the book. I said, that's the kind of faith God's looking for. So I stand up. I said, take the seal off. So he unstrapped that seal. We're on the right page. He's unstrapping the seal. Most people won't even go that far. But he unstrapped the seal, laid it off to the side. I said, okay, now then, get up. I reached down and grabbed him by the hand. When I did, he pulled his legs, which were straight. He pulled his legs up, bent them like this. And then I said, now get up. So I started to pull him. And as I did, as soon as the pressure hit his knees, he said, oh, Thurman, it hurts like crazy. I said, don't go by what you feel. Go by what's written. And I just jerked him on up. I said, come on up. He stood right straight up. Here he is, a man that ain't never going to walk again. He's standing straight up on his own power. And as he's standing up, I can see him looking around the unbelief. You can just see it. My God, I can't do this. I can't do this. So I jerked him. I said, come on, take another step. Now I jerked him again. I said, come on, take another step. And after I did that three times, we were sitting right over there. We started toward the podium. Time we got to the podium, I said, you can walk, you're on your own. He walked around the podium about three times and he broke and ran to the back door right down the hall screaming, God is awesome. What did we do that night? We did something in faith that pleased the Master. Did he say we could do those kind of things? Yes. I just wished I had that kind of faith every time. Don't you, Franz? Isn't it awesome to have that kind of faith and see, there ain't no two ways. I mean, you're smart enough to know there wasn't nobody but Jesus could have did that for that young man, was there? Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Wow. God is out of this world. So what did he say? What's the answer to get rid of that faith, that unbelief? Prayer and fasting. He didn't say feasting, did he? He said prayer and fasting. You know, y'all may be like me, you know. If you say, well, I'm going to fast a little bit, and then somebody comes by and there's a chocolate chip cookie or something laying there. You can't have that. I'm going to be praying and fasting. Let me tell you, the flesh will do everything it can do to keep you out of praying and fasting. The flesh is weak, and it does not want you to get powerful in the Lord. But the Spirit is strong. Now then, if you'll spend time with God in that Word and continue to spend time with God in the Word, you will get strong in faith and you won't have to worry about who's in control. You walk by and see a plate full of chocolate chip cookies and you say, I don't eat chocolate chip cookies. You just go right on by. You can do that. I guarantee you can do that. But you can't do it being led by the flesh. Yeah, if you're led by the flesh, your flesh is just like my flesh. I mean, my flesh will say, oh my goodness gracious, Thurman, look at that plate of groceries. Sit down there and just pig out. Well, how about if I just sit down here and eat just a little? Oh no, you don't want just a little. You want to really get some of that. And that's my flesh. That's your flesh. That's the way it works. It's amazing to me how we let our flesh drive us. But when I'm talking right now, I'm talking to every one of us in this room. Every one of us. Jesus made the statement to every one of us. If we can have faith and doubt not. Just think. We can say to, what did he say? We could speak to what?
A mountain.
And he said, if we don't doubt in our heart, that mountain will move. Mary, I've spoken to a few mountains, but I've never seen one move yet.
I have.
You have? Well, I know what you mean. Yes, in those kind of mountains, we did see some of those mountains move, didn't we? But when you pray, Jesus was giving you an example that you literally could speak to a mountain, Andy. Yes. Is that right? You could speak to a mountain. So whenever something comes to attack us or whatever, Why are we so afraid? In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they went up to Kodiak Island in Alaska and went fishing, trout fishing the other day, and they was catching some big fish. Boy, they were that big. Some pictures, they were just beautiful, gorgeous. This one guy, he's throwing his line out there, and he's catching this. He's caught one, and he's rolling this thing, and it's jumping and doing all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, a great big old mama grizzly bear walks right out of the woods, right by him, walks right out in that water, and goes to that line and grabs that big old fish, takes the fish off, and he goes back and sits down and eats that fish. I told him, I said, did that kind of make your... You know, you pucker up a little bit or something, you know? And he said, boy, did it ever. And that big old, just say when that big old bear bust about 10 foot from me to go get that fish, what if he decided to eat the guy? Well, if he had known who he was, but I bet he didn't. I bet he had no idea, because as soon as fear come into his heart, it's too late. Is that right? You gotta know who you are. When that bear runs out, you got to know that I'm a son of God, and you can't touch me, Miss Bear. You may go out there and get my fish, and I may let you have it. But if I really know who I am, I'm going to tell you, Bear, put down my fish. And that bear's going to look at you, and he's going to throw the fish in the water, and he's going to walk off. That, now, that's when you say, now, Thurman, that's going a little too far. No, that lines up with the Word.
That's right.
If you got that kind of faith, you should be able to do that, right?
That's right.
And if you have absolutely no fear, like Margie Mayfield, if you had no fear in your heart, you can bring the number one murderer into the United States. You can bring that guy to Christ that day because you had no fear.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
That's right.
So what's wrong with us kids? We don't have enough faith. We need to concentrate on the Word more. But I do know that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. So if you don't want to fast, if you don't want to do that, at least pray, spend time praying with God, and spend time reading and studying the Word. And you will have to increase your faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I know for a fact that it does work. And the more I spend time with God in the Word, the more I do, the more faith I have. And the greater my faith became over the years as I did pray. And as I did exercise the authority of the Word, I began to get more and more faith. And I got to a point where I've seen God do all the wonderful things I've had the privilege to see Him do, which is pretty awesome. But I ain't satisfied. We should never be satisfied with what we're seeing God do. We should be looking for bigger and better things. Don't you agree with that, Jerry? Yeah, we should be looking for bigger and better things. We should be standing on the Word of God, seeing God do awesome things, because our Master said, if you have faith and doubt not, nothing shall be impossible with you. Nothing. Nothing. Reckon He meant that?
Yes.
So we're going to study and pray more? Lord, I'm help me. I'm going to do more. I want to see bigger and greater things. You know, if you're happy with where you are, well, that's between you and God. But I ain't happy. I want to see bigger things. I want to see greater things. I want to see mountains move.
Amen.
I mean, just like I'm so pleased. And like I say, every night, virtually every night, Cheryl and I hardly ever miss a night. We lay there in the bed with her computer, with her iPod or whatever you call that thing, iPad, and we answer emails and prayer requests for people till sometimes 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning, nearly every night. Yeah, from everywhere. I mean, they come in from everywhere, all over the world. I thought to myself, who would have ever dreamed that I would be laying here in bed with my wife at 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning, giving her an answer to a prayer or quoting a prayer, and she's typing it out, and then we pray for the people or their children or whatever, and then we always, after we get, sometimes I can't answer a prayer. Somebody calls and says, I got a baby in the hospital, you know, he's got a hole in his heart. I want you to pray that it'll be healed. I can't pray for that child until I find out the condition of the parents. I've got to find out what their sin is. I've got to get them to repent of sin. I've got to get them to make God a promise that they're going to walk in obedience to His Word and do what He says. And then if they will do that, then I can pray for the child. And then, of course, we've seen many, many, many results of where people, them and their children, we get praise reports back. Unbelievable. I just think, from all over the world, Philippines, you know, Australia, you know, Germany, France, everywhere. Who would have ever dreamed a little guy and his wife be laying in the bed answering prayer requests all over the world, and then a few days later having praise reports come back. Oh, thank you, Pastor Scrivener, for you and your wife for praying for me, or my daughter, or my wife, or whatever. They got healed, or this happened. We always close the prayer after we pray. We have prayed. It is now done, I guarantee. It is done. If you can't pray it, it's guaranteed you don't believe yourself. And if you don't believe, you might as well stay at home, because you ain't going to get no answers anyway. Is that right, Scott? Yeah, you got to be there. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're the one that wrote this book, and you're the one that tells us how it works, and you're the one that answers our prayers of faith when we pray for people. I thank you, Lord, that you're the mighty God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Lord, continue to give us more revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we study your word. We want to be used of you more mightily every day. We want to see you do great and mighty things, to think that we have the privilege to speak your word and you do the work. We don't have to do the work. We just pray and speak it. That's all we get to do. But you do the rest. And Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for your healing, your love. I thank you for restoring us, each one of us, making us well and healthy and strong. And I just give you all the praise and glory and honor for being our mighty God, our mighty King. And may you use us all more mightily every day. And may people that see us know that we are attached to the Most High God. May the healings and the miracles and the answers to prayer be so powerful that they'll all have to know that only you could have done the answer to these prayer requests. And so many of them would come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, our goal is the same as yours. We want all to know that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods, and that there is no other God and no other one under heaven except you. You are the only true God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.